You want to do the intro, Dennis?
We are here with Daryl Taco. Unclick. That's my intro.
Perfect. I feel like it's been a while since you've done the intro.
Yeah, you've done the last couple,
because you did this intro.
Nervous there.
He does this intro chug now.
Yeah. I have to chug 44, and this is my 34th one. Oh, wait, no.
He's making that number up.
No, it's 34 more. I was thinking that on the drive
34
over.
More. Oh, okay.
After this, I have 33 more.
So this is tradition.
We're here with...
Thanks to our sponsor, Dale's, Daryl Taco, Fudger, Unclicked RBMX.
We're here with Mr. Taco. Cheers. Welcome to California.
Cheers, boys.
A little hot, but not nearly as hot as Texas.
Oh, yeah, this is incredible.
You are here chilling with the wife.
Yeah, we've just been posted up in Encinitas for a few days. Summer hit really early in Austin this year, and it's been pretty miserable. So, we just kind of needed a mental break, and we're just kind of working a little bit out here and just posted up, chilling.
Yeah,
it's been cool.
Beachfront?
No. But, yeah, it's walking distance. We'll take it.
Well, I feel like, I don't know. I have a full topic. I have full list, like origin story, Jersey, bad timing, Slatterly, you know, who do we want to talk about? Like, yeah. how is life outside of BMX is maybe the first question.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's been a big adjustment, like kind of departing the industry and not working full time for Kink anymore. So it kind of changes the way I look at riding a little bit, but work is cool. You know, doing other stuff feels good, and still working with like a group of people that I love, and it's, you know, a group of friends still. So it kind of still has that feel. But yeah, it's good.
How long were you a professional bike rider?
I guess around 15 years.
Long time.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, probably could have cut the cord a little earlier, maybe, but we'll see. You know, hung around.
You did actually like kind of retire in a sense, right? Like you put out that, which video part was it?
Yeah. When we started filming for Champagne, I was like starting to stack a couple clips, and I knew I wanted to like film a part, but it wasn't going to be for that video.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had talked with the office, and like, we wanted me to like pretty much like completely focus on the new video. So it was like kind of agreed, like you'll kind of step down or whatever, however you want to do it. And I was kind of just like, well, if we're going to do this, like I want to film one more part that I'm like stoked on. So yeah, that's what I did. The first couple months of Champagne, I got like everything that I needed for a part to put out that I was stoked on. And then after that, like, fully focused on the video and the other guys.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
And then so that part came out after Champagne though, right? Or no?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It was before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What was the name of it, just for my own memory? You can't remember either. Daryl Taco quits.
I think you guys hosted it.
Oh, did we?
Was Champagne the last video you made? Last full length?
The last full length. Yeah.
Such a good video.
Thanks, man.
And was the first one safety first? Like as far as when you joined Kink and
Yeah. The first Kink video that I did was Safety First.
Man.
And the last one was Champagne.
Kink's always been dope, but your chapter with Kink is like, I'm such a fan of that chapter from Safety First to Champagne, man, and everything in the middle.
It still means like a lot to me that I had that time in my life with those guys and that group of people. Like we saw a lot, did a lot together. We, you know, it was like a kind of a little brotherhood for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really cool.
Yeah, and to be like a rider. Pro rider for the company, but you built that image too, because you completely, after Safety First, it was like a new thing. Like it was still Kink, but it was a new team.
Yeah, that was kind of like the rebrand of, you know, the whole company. You know, we got Doyle involved, and Sexton was, you know, kind of blowing everybody's minds at that time, and then
Tony,
Tom Dillon, shout out to Tom. We had like a really good crew.
Sick dudes, man. I'm blanking on a bunch of names, but Safety First was like, whoa.
Aaron Smith.
Sexton's buddy who was goofy footed,
Jason Owens.
Yes,
shout out to Jason.
Yeah, man,
that guy.
Yeah,
we're probably forgetting a bunch, but that watch Safety First if you want to watch a good video.
Yeah,
watch everything from Safety First to Champagne.
Right.
How many
full lengths did you do?
Gotta
be like 8, 9, 10.
No, I've in total probably done 8 or 9, but Kink, I think. 4 or 5, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
That's a hefty number. That's a huge contribution to BMX, you know?
And they're all good. Yeah. Integration? Or was it intervention?
Intervention.
That one's cool too. Like
that was a fun one.
That's one of my favorite Doyle parts.
Dude, yeah, right.
I love that Doyle part.
Yeah, he went hard for that one.
Uh-huh. And the song too. It's a rap song.
Yeah.
It's so different.
We got so much shit for that.
Why? I love it. It's just so different.
At that time, like I had been kind of using like the same genre of music for our videos for a long time. And when Intervention, the idea came to do that video, Jay was like, I want to switch it up like hard. And I was like, I've always been a rap fan and listener. So I was like, okay, like I got a catalog ready to go. And I started putting this Doyle part together and we were all like hyped on it because it was just something completely different for Doyle.
A cool feel.
And I remember when it came out, like, it was like old heads that were like, this fucking Doyle part, what the fuck were they thinking?
No way.
It's like a Sato and the 50 Cent song.
It's literally one
it kind of works now. Like when I see the Sato part, when I think of the Sato part, I'm like, it's kind of sick now.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time,
When it came out, I was like, oh, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know.
Now I want to hear it, Chris.
But the 50 Cent song is like a really, it was like almost a radio song, you know? Like,
yeah, it was
The song you chose it was like the song humorous. I never heard.
Like I thought it was like supposed to be funny almost. But yeah, the Doyle song was like kind of serious and.
See if we can.
Dude, Intervention's so good too. It just goes so hard. Dude.
Yeah, this is a sick
song.
This
might have been one of his last parts too.
Yeah. Honestly,
I think it was. I think he got his heart thing
now that
during
I
this
think
video.
About it.
Oh, yeah.
I think this might have been one of Connor's last parts as well.
Dan actually shot.
Oh, no, sorry. Like, we're talking about Champagne before this anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Two different videos.
I think Dan shot like this entire part, which was really cool. Like, we kind of like split up duties between me, Calvin, and Dan filming this video. So, Dan being on the East Coast, he was like going out to Pittsburgh, and him and Doyle pretty much made all this happen, which was super sick.
Chris Doyle is so sick.
Like, is there a part that you filmed that is like the part? I guess we're just gonna jump around. I mean, I have a full list, but we'll just jump around.
That's
so,
all right. I don't know. I think safety first feels good to me still.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was progressing the most around that time and kind of coming into my own as a rider.
Yeah.
So that part kind of felt like kind of special for me. But yeah, I don't know.
You've had so much footage throughout that chapter.
Yeah, like we were traveling so much and riding so much cool shit that like
even jet lagged is so
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, right. Dude. Like that was another fun
Damn,
one.
Damn, you killed it in that.
So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of all over the place.
What?
Yeah,
dude,
I feel
this
like
came out when I was in high school, still filming.
There's Fudger right there.
That's me. I didn't even recognize myself.
Yeah,
it's my back.
This is old now. It's crazy. That was my first Smith Hard ever.
It looks is the footage stretched 4:3 like squished.
Yeah, why is that?
Oh,
is it just a YouTube cut?
Yeah, I think it's a YouTube thing. It's on the King channel though.
Huh, this might have been me like completely not knowing what I was doing at the time, honestly. Stretching footage out to 69.
Or maybe you're like, nobody will notice. I'll just put it on YouTube
this.
Who
knows?
Or that it was like an SEO thing. Like, if we make it 4:3, YouTube won't deliver it.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, now that I'm looking back on this stuff, I definitely have better footage out there, so I'm not sure anymore.
But your style, man, and like the you gotta remember when this came out, you know? Like you had the sickest style. Gyro, two pegs, everything's so snappy.
I mean, were there influences that you think you can credit your style to? Because it's like it is like snappy and powerful, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of guys, you know, in the streets. I always wanted to look like Stephen Hamilton, or like Ed was a big influence.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I had such kind of like a ramp background as a younger kid, so that kind of like influenced the way I looked at riding street, and yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say. I think
a
lot of people.
I mean, I almost think there is like small similarities between you and D-Hard. I feel like too.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Well, I think maybe there's like the attention to the way you looked.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's a really good point. Like,
there's no sloppy clips.
Chase and I grew up not too far from each other.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
You like hard 180 and your peg slipped underneath the rail.
Yeah, I think I slipped off. But it just worked.
Oh, so good. Can you still do that?
It's funny you mentioned that. I want to try and get one at Chase's soon because his ramp is
That trick is nasty. That's a similarity to Chase D too because he could do a bunch of crazy tricks like that.
Yeah, I mean, Chase was a huge influence for me growing up, like riding with him and seeing kind of his like signature snappy little style. It made me like, I don't know. It definitely had a big influence.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously South Jersey. Close to Philly, right?
Without a free coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. We're about 25 minutes from Philly. So that was the first city I ever rode street in. And the scene was huge at that time. Philly was kind of a big deal for us, like having it so close.
And then who was your like crew growing up? Like you, I mean, there had to be a crew before Bad Timing, or was that literally like the growing up crew?
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of all like, before we had skate parks, we just rode trails, and all the guys I ended up doing the Bad Timing stuff with were all dudes I knew from the trails.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Slattery when he was super young, you know, 13. I met Jeff when he was probably 11 years old.
Yeah. Was he always just fucking good?
We always knew like he's going to be somebody, you know, he's probably going to do something with this. But yeah, all those guys, once our trails got plowed, we all kind of like shifted into driving to Lakewood a lot more, going to like Scotty's Park and the Tom's River Parks. And I don't know, just kind of like bouncing around Jersey to find whatever we could to ride. So yeah, those same guys that I was riding the trails with, we just started riding all the parks with. And then, you know, that turned into more street and just, yeah, they were like my best friends. So.
When does the camera come in? Is it?
The camera came in early, honestly. Like I started bringing it to the trails when I was probably 15 or so, 14. It was always like something that I was curious about. Like, honestly, selfishly, I wanted to know what I looked like on my bike because I was so small. And I thought like a lot of dudes would just be like kind of clowning me.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I was like, that felt good, but I don't know if it looks good. So I was like always curious like what the stuff I was doing looked like.
I feel like that's such an, and that's like what I was talking about, like your style is like a honed in, like I feel like it's a
consciousness.
That's exactly
what I was thinking too, like, and he grew up and he could just be like, bah, bah, yeah, like everything you did was like power.
I always cared more about how my stuff looked than like having the most tricks. I think I just wanted to like really dial in what came naturally to me. So that's kind of how I looked at it. After I started seeing footage, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I think I know what works for me and what doesn't. Like, my turndowns are not good. You know, like, I don't think they're ever going to be good. So.
I've never seen you do a turndown.
Yeah, I mean, you won't.
Never filmed
one. leaves those to Brett.
Yeah.
Brett Taco.
My brother has all the tricks that I don't like.
The whips and the turndowns.
So, yeah, that kind of helped me, like, figure out what I wanted to look like on my bike. But also, I fell in love with, like, filming and like messing with footage and all that stuff. So it quickly turned into like, oh, this is like the other half of riding that I like am obsessed with.
So you're 14. How old are you now?
I'd be 39 next week.
Dude. 39. Yeah. So this is 95. What kind of camera do you have that you're?
Well, my dad started sending me to the trails with this huge Betamax, like shoulder crazy thing.
Yeah. And when it actually did it, because Dennis has no idea, this is like it's a VHS tape that goes in, but it's bigger than a VHS tape, right?
It smaller.
Records to
smaller.
A VHS tape?
Oh, it's smaller.
But it was like it's a full-size tape, but it's like, sorry.
But you're good.
Yeah, it's just a tad smaller than a VHS, but the whole tape goes into this camera. And I was lugging it all the way to you know, the trails that were like 4 miles away.
Imagine for the 14-year-old Daryl, like he's like the camera's like 30% of his size.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously, like I was so small. Dude.
The bike at that time too.
Yeah, the bike at that. Oh yeah,
right.
A nug of a bike.
Yeah, like so look at that. He's like an ant carrying head 10 times his weight.
Totally. But yeah, I became so obsessed with it that I like saved up all summer one year working with my dad to like buy like a little Sony like handy cam.
Okay.
And that was like, it wasn't mini DV yet. It was like the high eight or whatever they're called. So yeah, that like once he gave me the original beta cam to mess with, I like always had a camera with me.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then like, do you just have these tapes at home, or you're just like, do you have all this footage at home or no?
Yeah, I mean, I have in my garage, you know, shoe boxes of the mini DV tapes from the original Bad Timing videos and all that stuff. But I'd be curious about the betas. I'm not sure if they're around anymore. They don't actually exist.
So are you like editing it, or are you just watching it and then inviting the boys over and yeah, be like, well, oh, this is a session from last week?
I was telling Canode this last year, but my dad like showed me how to do like deck to deck cutting.
Okay.
So like I had two VCRs hooked up, like super old school. And I would like play a portion of the footage, record it, press pause and record. You know, that's one clip.
Mm-hmm.
Find the next clip on this VCR, play, record. Kind of like, I don't know, I think that's
painful.
It was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but he showed me how to do it. So I started like building tapes of like my friends. Like this would be my boy Chris's tape. Mm-hmm. This is like Daryl tape or whatever.
Is that Larson?
Yeah. Right. good shout out. So then, yeah, that VCR actually was like pretty tech. And my dad showed me like you could put music onto the decks. So I could like play a tape on my stereo and aux cord it into the VCR and like kind of make a section almost.
Yeah.
And that's when I got like really like obsessed with it. I was like, oh shit.
That's sick. Your dad, your dad was like, all right, here's my camera.
Yeah.
You can do this. You can do that. Totally. Like, was
there computers at that time?
I mean,
computers that could edit, or was this like the only way you could edit as like a modest person?
Honestly, I don't know. 95, 14. No. I'm trying to think back. I mean, there was computers because I always like dial up internet.
And we definitely didn't have one.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm saying like this might, is like, what was the other?
It's so funny, like explaining this to people. Like I literally had to do like book reports on a typewriter at the library. Like that's how old I am. Like, that's what existed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. My grandpa was alive before a car was invented, I think. Right. I was talking to him. I'm like, that's fucking, dude, only a couple grandpas ago, like they were just coming over to this country.
I remember my grandpa was like, yeah, I went and bought a car and like you didn't have a license and the guy just taught you how to drive. And then the wipers, you would just turn it. It was raining, so you're driving and you're just turning this thing like yourself.
And now we like, have like little computers in our pockets that have like editing programs.
All right. So first official video is a Bad Timing video though, right?
Yeah. Well, actually,
jump forward. Oh, is there?
I made a little cut video called Eternity.
Eternity.
When I was, I don't know.
From in?
I was in like seventh grade or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, then later on, throughout the years, I was just filming and just had this like stack of footage. And like my friends were getting better and better. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, kind of invest a little more in like an actual mini DV Sony cam. And then once I got that, my friend John Rye,
mm-hmm.
He kind of approached
good shout
me.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Yeah. It's my boy too.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's big in the BMX industry, right?
No, he's just John Rye.
He's big in the BMX friend group.
Yeah.
Okay. You've definitely met him.
He's like he's like a supreme human.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You can't really describe him.
He lived with me and Fudger in Long Beach for quite a while.
He wanted to beat my ass the first time I met him.
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah. He almost kicked him out of our house.
I feel like a lot of people have said that, though, back then.
So. Were you drunk?
No. Wow. Just rude.
You
normal,
just Fudger being Fudger.
Normal, no filter me. Just like really.
I mean,
yeah.
Looking back on that story, it was justified. Like, what I think you were like, you're a dumbass. He was like, you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't know. He sideswiped some cars and telling it in like a
kind of braggadocious,
braggadocious way, bragging about it, and I was like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, so that's.
And he's like, get the fuck out.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, telling somebody
I
in
had
their
to, like,
own
come
house.
In and like calm him down, like, yo, it's Fudger, he's staying.
So sorry. So John Rye, friend group making a video.
Yeah, John kind of approached me and was like, do you want to make like t-shirts or something? And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like, get our little crew together. And I was like, I'll do it if I can like make a video. And he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So then I was like, oh, let's like get the guys together and like actually do this. So I kind of talked to everyone like, you guys want to do a project together? Like start really filming for something. And they were all like super down. So
where, I have two questions. So where does the name come from? And then like, what was happening at that time that like other, what other crew videos were out there? You're like, these guys are doing it. Let's do
it.
Dude. You know?
Okay. So first the name came from the band Recover, who's actually from Austin. They were being like used in props a lot at the time. And me and John loved them. Mm-hmm. And they had just put out a record called Bad Timing. And the song was super sick. So we were trying to come up with names for like a week, and I was just in my car one day and it came on and I was like, Bad Timing is like kind of a cool name. And I like mentioned it to John and he was like, that's it. And he was like, it kind of works for us because we were like, we always have bad luck on the road and, you know, shit happens to us all the time. And so we were like, okay, let's do it. And then, shit, what was the second part?
What other crews, like, you know, that point, like, I mean, I don't know if it's a strong statement that like crews aren't as like prevalent as they are today, you know, like right now, like a crew video, like think of crew videos, how, I mean,
Fast
I don't know.
And Loose.
You still got
Fast
like,
and
Loose,
Fast
and Loose and
yeah.
Chocolate Truck. And, yeah. You know, there's definitely, you know, child
dudes. They're the only ones making videos.
Maybe. Yeah.
But
so,
yeah,
I could be wrong. I mean,
Octopus
is under Stonehenge.
True. no, but seriously, at that time, it felt like a lot of crews were like taking things into their own hands and being like, we're just going to make our own videos.
Yeah.
Like there were guys up in New Hampshire that were working on Off the Map at the time. And like,
great video.
Yeah. Love that video. And yeah, there was just like at the time, if you watched like Navaz's videos, like Jersey Riding or Standpoint, he would have commercials in them like props, but they were all like crews because he didn't have like big advertisers flocking to him. So these crews would like send in their 30-second commercial and Navaz would charge them like nothing. But it made me like realize like, oh, dude, there's so many dudes like doing this right now. And it was like inspiring. Like, I got to like, I don't know. I just got a kick out of thinking like these dudes are just running it, like making full length DVDs, getting them duplicated, packaged, you know, getting them sold. So it was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's see if we can do that. And so we did.
Yeah. And so you guys made two DVDs overall or two videos. I don't know. The first one was the first one DVD too?
They were, both DVDs.
How'd they do sales wise back then?
I mean, I don't know what to compare it to at the time, but like the second one, I think we sold like 2,000 copies. And like for the first time ever, we had like some money in our pockets.
Yeah.
And that was just a crew, like no sponsors involved or anything.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome.
And like we had people hitting us up and helping us, you know, do distribution. And Scarbo like called me out of the blue one day when I was just a kid living at my parents' house in Jersey and was like, what's up with this video? You know, I was like, what? So, yeah,
he
was
called
cool.
You to talk about the video?
Yeah, he wanted to like help distribute it through Animal. Sick. So I was like, dude, what? Like Bob Scarbo's calling me. And then like the Blackout dudes from, you know, Kink would hit me up and they were like, they wanted to help out with the video. So, it was
a
trip.
Well.
Like, we were like, oh shit, like we have some money. We can go on like some more trips. So we just blew all that money on like trips really.
And then, where was kind of the, where does Kink come in? And then where does like Bad Timing go wrong? I guess.
So we started,
or right, because maybe everyone kind of got sponsored.
I mean, like, I think that's
like everyone kind of branched off.
I think we were about 3/4 away through filming when I got the call from Jay. So I actually have my first Kink in the second bad timing video.
Yeah.
So that was another trip. Like he called me, or you know, someone from Blackout got in touch with me about distributing the new video, and I was like, awesome! Like they're calling ahead of time. They just knew that we were filming. And then shortly after that, Jay like called me and asked me like if they could send me a bike.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like this is crazy, you know? And Slattery was starting to get hooked up by United. It just seemed like people were kind of taking notice, like what was going on. Like D-Hart was with our crew, but D-Hart was already kind of like making moves. He was like, in the shutter speed videos, and mm-hmm. he was riding for Fit already, I think.
So many videos that I haven't thought of in so long. Right? Shutter speed and Off the Map and Off the Map 2. Yeah. Like, yeah.
The Northeast was like a haven for that stuff at the time. So, it was just like all of our friends kind of started getting hooked up. Randy Brown mm-hmm. got on Eastern, which like in hindsight is pretty funny, but you know, it like kind of launched his career.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we were like these dudes, and like now we all had like free bikes. Yeah. It was like, shit.
This is crazy.
Something's happening.
Yeah. We peaked.
Fudger's staying at our house this weekend.
But that might have been what happened to Bad Timing too, is everyone kind of got like obligations all totally. Of a sudden. People probably started getting paid to ride.
Yeah. I mean, not shortly after the video was done is when I got the opportunity with Kink, and they started asking me to make their stuff. So it was like everybody was busy and doing their own thing. And, you know, we were getting older, a little bit older too. So guys, you know, started working. The guys that weren't getting hooked up were working regular jobs and doing their thing. But yeah, it was a really cool time for us. Like as a crew, it was like, look what the hell is going on here. Like it was a trip.
Yeah.
So,
that's dope.
Yeah. When you first got sponsored by Kink, was it kind of a riding filming gig, or what was the deal?
I think, well, the way Jay's explained it to me is that he knew the filming would come eventually.
Yeah.
But he wanted to start out the relationship like as a rider, which made me feel really good, obviously. And then once we had like kind of like, I think like 6 months under our belt, he was like, we want to do a full length. And I was like, oh, really? And he was like, we want you to do it. I was like, oh shit.
So was that the time period? Like who all's on the team at that point? Like, because Kink had that, the mass exodus of team riders. Yeah. It felt like it was like, they got rid of Sure. Mm-hmm. Got rid of Ariaga. Who else was on the
team?
Ian Monroe. And that was like the heyday of BMX message boards.
And anonymous
shit talking and stuff like that. So it was like drama on the internet at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like tuned out after all those guys left. I kind of thought like, oh, they must be like shutting down, you know, like they must be closing their doors or something.
Yeah.
So by the time Jay called me and mentioned Kink, I was like, Kink, you know, like, and I kind of like maybe vocalized that, like, you guys are like doing it. And he was like, yeah, dude, we're like rebranding. We have big plans, like, and we want you to be a part of it. So it was like,
yeah, that's true. As a kid looking in, it looked like Kink was kind of like when those guys, it was just like, they were hanging out for a while, but they weren't really doing anything since like Cheap Thrills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I can remember right. And then it seemed like, they just always had like the back ad or ride, but it was like, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they were just always had an ad and ride or something.
I feel like just people are angry. They're like, how the fuck could you get rid of all these people? Yeah. You know? And it's like, what the fuck is that? There are a lot of question marks.
It seemed like Kink was
like
dying.
Fair enough. Yeah. Like I would have thought the same thing.
It seemed
like
it was dying from as a fan standpoint. Yeah. And then when Safety First came out, it was like, it's like a new brand.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And
it's
that's
so
how,
sick.
That's kind of how Jay like mentioned it on the phone call. Was like, we have plans to like revamp this thing, and we're going to be talking to some guys, and like, we want you to be a part of this. And I was like, that felt really cool to like kind of get in on the ground floor and be like, we're going to, you know, ride this wave together and like figure it out like in the van.
I mean, all credit to Jay, because like, I mean, I guess, was Jay the one that like let all those dudes go, or like was our conscious because those dudes were confused too. It was like everybody got let go on the same day.
Yeah.
Like was it
Jay wasn't involved yet. Yeah. He was like folding t-shirts in the warehouse at that time. Yeah. So
was it Sam? Was it the Sam guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I personally never met.
Yeah.
But I think Sam was the TM when all that stuff went down. And I don't know if it was like him or Zach that actually like made those brutal phone calls,
which
I'm sure were really hard to make. But yeah, I think the only people that survived were Casey and Dirty Dan were on the pro team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They survived. I think Jim was leaving around that time anyway to start Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wong was on.
Oh, okay.
But he was on
Sabrosa real quick.
Yeah, and that was because when Cher got dropped, I think Sabrosa was right around the corner.
Yeah, I think those conversations already started. It'd be interesting to find out that timeline. Yeah,
it was like a shakeup.
Because I mean, like I was like super close with Schur at that point, and Schur was very secretive about like what he was doing, you know, like really, really secretive. So,
yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like from the outside looking in, it looked like crazy move, but it also like in hindsight, it looks like it was all planned, you know, and like a, you know, to the detriment of those dudes. But at a point, sometimes you have to shake stuff up and
right.
and like get new blood on a brand, and sometimes that's hard, you know. Like I think we talked about that recently. It's like yeah, sometimes it's like hard to bring up that new squad when you have the
and you got to say bye squad. To a family almost yeah. to like yeah. to, or say bye to a few guys, a part of a family to restart something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, not enough budget to sponsor everyone.
Shout out to Ian Monroe too, and Ariago.
Yeah, dude, those guys were so sick.
First gap hanger, right? Hanger.
Yeah,
honestly,
as far as I know, at the UCI Kinker,
I think is that one in the pool or something. I don't know. Probably UCI Kinker.
Oh,
yeah, but I don't know. I'm probably that's his banger in one of the parts. So yeah. I'm thinking it. But
was the first trip you guys ever did as a new team? This is super random, but the Props Oregon Portland trip.
No, but you're close. It was Mega Tour 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was the other crazy part. Like, you know, he
started doing stuff fast.
Yeah,
it was like that, the Mega Tour, then Safety First.
So who's the new squad that you're on that trip with? Who's the new Mega Tour? Like,
Doyle was there.
Doyle.
So me, Doyle, Casey, Dirty Dan, and Sexton.
So that's crazy. I always
Sexton
think
and Doyle adding to that team. And
yeah.
You as a rider and a filmer.
And like dude, when Jay told me that Doyle was getting on, I was like, Chris Doyle?
That's what I like. Chris Doyle got on Kink. I was like
he's
no
going to be with us on this trip.
Yeah.
When did he? So
he
that
moved
was
over like
that
in
was
his,
at the same
he's
time.
Always in his prime. But like when he moved over, like he could have picked anyone, it seemed like, you know, like and he went with Kink. It was like, no way.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah. Honestly, it's weird that he's not on Kink right now. Like I it's like I that's
it still feels weird to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Like I always say he
S&M's super cool.
I mean it's
too.
Cool. It's like, cool. I just think I always
it is weird. I
would have
think you'd have been on Kink for life.
Doyle with Kink, you know, but
he had a crazy thing that happened and it almost seemed like he wasn't gonna ride again.
Yeah, you know, fuck Doyle. Quit his podcast, quit Kink, you know. So
now he's on S&M.
I love Doyle. We talk all the time.
I love Chris Doyle.
You know
hero
that one too.
Yeah, absolute hero.
So that's a crazy squat. Sexton is obviously fucking peak skill on a bike.
Yeah. Dude,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I didn't know, you know, I didn't know about him really until we went on that trip together. I'd seen a few clips and a few photos.
You kind of had to be from the West Coast to know
Sexton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he was buzzing out there, but I didn't really know. Mm-hmm. And then we went on that trip together and I was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't even know there were dudes riding like this yet.
You know? Yeah, dude. Sexton was like a future rider.
He was like doing like Stricker pedals at like hang fives.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this guy doing?
And then doing X up tail lifts over dirt jumps.
Yeah.
And
like
shit.
He could do all the box jump stuff. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my God, this dude's a monster.
Yeah.
And he was like the coolest dude ever. So I was like, dude, this is like my guy now.
Doesn't get cooler than Sexton.
For real.
Really. It really doesn't. For those that don't know, he really is the coolest motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like you can't even. You can't even describe it. Like
he's the coolest dude in any room he's in, you know, so.
Without trying at all.
Yeah.
Because that's.
So it was like, it was a trip for me to like not really know where my spot was at Kink and then get thrown onto this trip with, you know, guys I sweated Casey pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Dan, I was always a big fan of. And then like, obviously Doyle was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And then at some point we were on the trip. Halfway through, I think, and Jay like turned around in the van and he was like, I just like want to let you guys know, like, you guys are the new Kink Pro team. And like, he hadn't said that word to me, I didn't even know what that meant, you know?
Yeah,
and I was like, and even Sexton was like, whoa, really? And we were just like, all right, like, cool. I didn't, you know, I was such a young kid and I didn't really know. Dudes, you know, I didn't even know dudes got paid. I didn't know how any of that shit worked.
Yeah.
Wow,
so
that's crazy.
It was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but it feels cool.
So Doyle,
so
probably
I have to go to
knew,
work next week. Or?
I think Doyle kind of was like
he had to
the
know.
Catalyst for making like,
and he's like, these kids will say yes.
Put them on. But I think it was like, if we're gonna bring Doyle on, like we got to do this right.
Yeah,
and everybody needs to like start getting hooked up. So it was crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So were you filming right in the beginning too?
Not for Kink. Like we were going on trips. The first couple trips we went on were like props trips.
Yeah. Okay.
So Walter.
The Mega Tour and props.
Yeah. So Walter was like kind of our go-to guy for prop stuff. And he would just handle it, which was awesome for me because I was so used to filming everyone. So it was cool to just be like, you're the new guy on the team, like, just ride. And cool. that felt really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I we kind of meant to ask this earlier, but, like, I always feel like the filmer's story is like, hey, yeah, I really liked riding, but, like, all these other dudes are so fucking good. So I just, like, picked up a camera.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Like, and it didn't seem like that was your story.
No, I mean, there was just...
This is my story.
Yeah.
That's my story.
You gotta give yourself more credit.
I don't know. I grew up with Gary Young, so yeah, I got a valid... If that was my bar, and I'm like, that bar is fucked.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I did feel that way. Like, even, you know, with Slattery and a couple of the guys, it was just like, these guys are ripping so hard. Like, I have to film this stuff. Because if no one else is, like, I'm the guy. Like, I like cameras, so this is, like, this should be happening. These guys need to, like... be documented. So it just worked out, like, and filming helped me as a writer. It made me push and progress and all that stuff that comes with filming, right? Like, so it helped me get to be on that level, you know, as a writer as well. Filming those guys all the time and then just passing the camera off, it was like, I don't know, it was like a good balance, and it worked out really well.
I feel like maybe that means that you just progressed in a shorter window than those dudes did. If they spent the entire time on the bike and then you spent a lot of time holding the camera, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But, and honestly, I think I kind of hit a wall eventually because I wasn't learning stuff as quick after a while. Like, I had a good window where I learned a lot of shit, and then I was like, oh, I'm just like doing what I like to do now.
Yeah.
And I think it just kind of put me in my position, and I was like, I'm just going to do what I do and do it as best as I can do it, because I'm not going to learn like sextant switch whips. Like, it's not in my bag of cards. So.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
Okay. What about I guess, I mean, I think my first intro where I was in Philly and John made a great impression on John was filming for Insight.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of, I mean, I feel like Navaz had an unintentional and an intentional.
Watch a little bit of that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insight's so good.
You hate this section, right?
Really?
I don't hate it. I just, there's a couple clips I really like, and then there's some other stuff that I just feel like I'm going really slow, and I hadn't really figured out what I wanted to do out there yet.
Yeah.
Like, there was just some spot use that was like,
questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Insight was before Safety First.
I think they were, that
seems like
the
timeline
same,
is hard.
Same,
yeah.
Air, like, same time frame, but.
It's hard to say. But the only reason I got this opportunity was because of Kink. Like, Navaz needed guys that were already hooked up so that they could, you know, have help with trips and all that stuff. So
yeah, I mean, there's probably two parts to that too. Even from the less noble aspect of it, it's because he rode for an advertiser, probably helped out a bit too.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
But but that's the way the world works.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I think I was still working at a restaurant at this time, and I was super broke. So like, my kit is looking at my clothes. I'm like, I would never ride in that shit now.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I don't know. There's some good stuff in here, but
I mean,
it's just
everybody,
like,
yeah, nobody's gonna look back and be like, "Wow, I really, really killed it on the fashion front."
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Pretty steezy.
But yeah, this was good. You know, like, super good memories of doing this with those guys. Like, another time where I was involved in a project where I was like, "How the hell? Like, what am I doing here?"
Yeah,
like. Davey Watson's filming a part for this video.
Right.
This video is nuts.
Yeah. And that was, you know, the first time like coming out to California was to film for this video. Mm. So, you know, a lot of good memories.
That's that old LA spot, right?
Yeah.
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 Chinatown.
Yep.
So, hit me with the Davey Watson story. Were you there for the banger? Because I was Philly. The refilm of the banger?
I wasn't there. For the banger, I think I was there the day he did the manual 180. But yeah, that was a gnarly situation. I was supposed to stay at that house that night that they got robbed.
Yeah,
and I ended up like not. I just was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go home. And then the next morning, I think I talked to Navaz, and he was like, "Everything's gone. We're screwed. The video's like, dude, probably not gonna happen.
Damn.
And we were like, what? Like,
yeah.
So they got robbed and a bunch of footage got lost, or like all of it?
They basically just took his whole camera bag. So it was like,
they got pistol whipped and,
I don't know if
like tied up and I don't, the story's gnarly.
The story is gnarly. It's not ours to tell the specifics of it, but that's what happened. And then,
that's what we shot together.
That was my flash.
Well, we did the bar.
Oh, we did do the bar too. Okay.
Was that your guys' first photo together?
The toboggan was Dalecki.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first
photo. Who shot it better? Probably Dalecki.
I can't remember, honestly. I don't remember what the toboggan photo looked like.
Not a real question.
I remember what your photo looked like.
Yeah. I think we ended up using it a few places. Look at him, John Rice in there.
And Jeff.
There he is right there, John Rice.
John.
Yeah, so the Watson story, like to round it out, so he refilmed his banger basically, and maybe one or two other clips, and
Emmanuel Hanger.
Yeah, and Navaz had lost a year or two of stress off of his life. Went dark for On Us. We're like, it's everything's okay, dude. We're not mad. Just respond, which is fine, you know. Like, and it's a story at this point, you know. Like, no,
it's a pretty legendary story, honestly.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully,
if you're listening, Navaz, and you're ever around San Diego, a podcast with you would be amazing.
That would be
Ryan
sick.
Navazio, man.
Yeah.
Such a legend.
One of the best filmers in BMX ever. Yeah, you see his footage. See his footage from Rumble in Richmond. You know, and you're like, Jesus, just
perfectly tasteful. Like, it's not tasteful, over the top. Yeah. It's just nice
style choices and just like the way everything cuts together. I'm like, is there two of you? How the fuck how the fuck can you cut this
seriously
stuff? Like,
that God, stuff looked great,
dude. So shout out to Navaz for all the years of beautiful BMX content and everything he did.
And he did a lot, like I've said this a million times, but he did a lot for us, like our crew. He like put us on trips. Like the first trip I ever went, real trip I ever went on, was for Dig, and Navaz put me on that. He kind of told me how to, like, did so much like technical work for me for Bad Timing, like helping me with editing and just stuff I didn't know about. He just always looked out for everyone in that like Philly jersey scene.
Yeah.
And he's put a lot of people on. So,
let's see what else we got here. I actually have Navaz influence on here.
Ooh,
so.
I haven't seen the questions list.
It hasn't been a while. Right.
I used to always make fun of you for that in the beginning.
Right? You need it.
You do. No, you're the tech guy. I'm the drink beer guy.
I want to talk about the balancing of writing and filming.
Okay.
Where was the most stressful time period of that? Like, where you're like, I am failing at both of these. Like, I'm trying to do two jobs and I'm sucking at both of them because they're taking away.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think after we did, actually during, when we did Squash It, is I think the most I had felt like I'm not writing that great right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably one of my least favorite video parts. I have a couple clips in there that I'm really proud of, but I think I'd kind of hit a wall on like spots, and we were living in Long Beach at the time, and I just, I wasn't happy with a lot of my stuff. And there was stuff in there.
Sorry to make you watch it now, but I'm just saying, just for a visual aspect.
I had gotten hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So
another good one.
Mentally, I was kind of just like, I'm not on the level with these guys right now.
Yeah.
And being hurt, I had to use like clips like this that like never would have been in the part.
Yeah.
I was like desperate to get every clip I could get to like finish this part. So I think this is a good example of like when that balance was really hard for me. That was like our biggest project to date. And I obviously wanted all the guys to like have stellar video parts. And yeah.
Why was Squash It the biggest part to date? Most money went into it?
Yeah. Biggest trips. Mm. We were overseas a lot.
Like, John Rye.
John shout out clip, of course.
Ted Danson.
This is one I haven't watched as like much as the other ones. I got to watch this video more. This is a good one.
Yes, I mean,
I think I was like one of those parts, times of your life when you're like really busy.
It's like some random instrumental song.
Oh,
it's just not like this clip is dog shit. That's all right. I don't know. I just felt like between injuries and keeping up with the other guys, I wasn't like getting the stuff I wanted to get.
Yeah.
Injuries, so. Being the filmer,
yeah.
And being a pro rider, that yeah. just in, I it was I'm like, not a filmer, but coming back from injuries and trying to like get in there, it's yeah. so fucking I mean, hard, man. Like I can't imagine being the filmer too.
In the opening clip when I break my ankle, like you can hear me saying no, and I'm like already thinking like I gotta make the video,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
I'm filming, yeah, I can't be hurt.
That shit gets in your head, yeah, because you're like I mean, to a very lesser degree, like when I would go on trips in the beginning, I'd be like for ride, I'd be like, yeah, hey, I want everybody to know I can ride bikes, yeah, like right. I want to like one like there's some part yeah. of ego in there
for sure, yeah,
and then there's part of like, well, this is also looks really fucking fun,
yeah,
and then I would ride and I would get hurt and it would be like, well, and now I'm fucking miserable and I can't do my job.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So I just let it go. You know, I'm like, all right, you just have to chill. So
right.
this, I mean, this clip is obviously
wild. You got
some
clips you're proud of though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the, towards the end, they're getting fucking gnarly.
There's yeah. a couple at the end that I'm really
that's
stoked
a
on.
That's a gnar clip right there.
Yeah.
You did not use
what about brakes. The, what about.
That's
the,
so nice.
That's one of my favorites yeah. actually. Yeah. So like those, you know, these ending clips are like examples of how I wanted the part to look. And
yeah. Yep.
And the rest of the stuff just didn't really.
Yeah, this one match. Heat exhaustion. Figures.
Oh man, that was tough.
Yeah, was that
Bangkok?
Bangkok. Yeah,
I have a couple parts like that where you're like, "Damn, I want it to be something," and it, you hate it, but then yeah. you watch it 10 years later and you're like, "There's some stuff I'm happy."
Yeah, like yeah. I'm. Yeah, damn it. Thinking back on it, yeah, like, oh shit, like hurt. The last 5 or 6 clips, I'm like, "Those are cool," but I wanted the whole part to feel that way.
I know,
yeah.
I have a part yeah. like so. That.
Let's talk about like I feel like Kink's mantra for a few years was like. Banger video part or like banger full length video, travel the world,
yeah,
experience the experience of BMX, telling this like story of like, hey, look at all these places that exist in the world and how
yeah.
awesome life is. Yeah.
You
sense.
Know, I think me and Jay working together was such a good match. Like, we both were so passionate about BMX as a lifestyle and, you know, a hobby and a sport, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we had drawn so much inspiration from like watching like Euro scene and, you know, like props, like Euro fools.
Yeah, yeah.
Like seeing guys travel the world was so like buried in us. And that's all that we wanted to keep telling that story. Cause we felt like that was kind of dying. Like the go out and find shit
mm-hmm.
type of vibe was like kind of dying. And we were just like, we want to tell stories and like still travel the world and see all this shit and ride like the coolest stuff. So I think me and Jay having the same attitude about that and Jay having so much freedom with the brand, we got to like kind of steer the ship in a way, you know, like we're kind of just kids at the piggy bank. Like, let's, what are we going to do with the money this year?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we really wanted to just show kids and people in the industry, like, it's still really important to, like, get these stamps on your passport and,
yeah.
like, find these spots and, like, ride different shit.
I guess...
That's cool.
In the sense of travel, like, what do you think you've gotten out of... And this is, a deep question, but, like, what have you gotten out of travel all these years? You know, when you...
Everything. Yeah. Like, it's still what keeps me motivated, like, even with my new work and all that stuff and with my wife, like it's permanently injected into me, you mm-hmm. know, and I think BMX kind of gave me that because of Kink,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I would have never imagined seeing all that shit and doing all those things with those guys. And yeah, that like that stuff will never leave me, you know.
Any ridiculous situations that stand out?
Oh, yeah, so many.
If you can't yeah. if you can't think of any, I
travel
can.
For that long, that straight. Holy shit!
Yeah.
Were you on the New Zealand trip?
No, but that was one of them. Yeah. No, yeah. But hell no. I would have gotten killed.
Yeah, you might have, because you probably would have been swinging.
No. Zealand, yeah, man. I probably would have. Yeah, tell that story. I know you're not as good as Doyle.
Nice New Zealand.
Yeah.
So I blame all this on Catfish, actually. So fuck you, Catfish. At the time, this was when Catfish was on his laser pointer thing.
Oh yeah,
he wasn't with us, but Tony had been like spending time with Catfish. So Tony had this goofy, like super powerful laser pointer that could reach, I don't know, some ridiculous amount
airplanes
of
and shit.
They like burned you, like when you put them on your skin, they were like
Some of them did. Yeah. I don't think Tony's did at this time, but yeah, okay. I remember seeing Catfish had stuff like that. So we were walking to the bar one night in New Zealand, and we were like, you know, it was a whole crew, me, Doyle, Aaron Smith, Sexton. Actually, Sexton stayed behind. He wasn't feeling well or something. Doyle, Casey, Jay, we were mobbing.
Well, yeah, Walter, right?
I think Walter. No, Walter wasn't there. Oh, he stayed back as well. And then we had a few of the local guys with us that were showing us around. So they're like, we're going to go to this American bar. And we're like, yeah, sounds sick. And we took this like weird back way to this bar, and we basically cut across this field that's like, I don't know, 200 yards long. And we could see these like two people out way out in the distance. And Tony's like hitting them with the laser. And I'm like, you know, we're kind of like laughing, but it's just like, whatever.
Not that funny.
Yeah. It's like, this is stupid. So then we get close enough to that these people are like within an earshot, and I can hear the dude yelling, and he's like pissed. And
right, because you keep shooting him in the eye.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't like the laser.
Didn't like the laser.
And it's a guy and a girl, and they're like, I think they're hammered, and they're walking, and the guy's like talking shit to us. We're like 8 or 9 deep, and we're like, dude, just keep fucking walking. Like, who cares? It's a laser. And he's like, I'll fucking beat all of your asses right now. And we're like, shit. Like,
was he like a native Maori dude, like a beast? Oh yeah, they'll kick all your asses.
Yeah,
those we didn't know shit about badass. That.
But the locals were probably like telling us like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah,
don't fuck with this guy.
He'll kill you.
But anyway, he like took a swing, and I think it was at Casey maybe. Casey,
of course, it's Casey
takes a swing and whiffs it, like completely falls on the ground, like from the
just the momentum of swinging.
The momentum of the swing, like. Yeah. He fell on his own. And
so the guy missed too, though?
I don't think he got him.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe, I can't
really
recall.
Yeah, it's all blurry a little bit.
It's blurry.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got into like this skirmish with this guy. And skirmish.
Well, squirmish.
Skirmish.
Works
it was skirmish.
A little squirmish.
And anyway, it kind of got broken up. It wasn't that big of a deal. We're like, all right, let's keep it moving, guys.
Yeah.
So we get to the bar.
So no fights broke out with this dude. Got away.
Yeah. It's not over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get to the bar and we're hanging out for like an hour. And we're all like kind of doing our own thing. Like a couple guys are playing pool. There's a couple people hanging out by the bar. I'm like sitting on like a lounge chair with Jay, I think. And I start looking around at like every one of our little crews. Like there's, you know, two people here, two people there. And I notice like every crew has like a massive person standing next to them, like, and in my head now they're like cracking their knuckles and shit, out of a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then I like look up past Jay, and there's a dude by us too, and I'm like, oh shit. And they kind of round us up, and they're like, you guys like beating up women? And we're like, pardon, like what? And I guess the guy told his friends that somebody hit the girl that he was with, which is absolutely untrue. Like, we would never.
Obviously.
We're in a different country. Like, it would never happen.
You're dumb Americans, but not that dumb.
No, not that dumb.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're in a different country. You would never do that.
Yeah. No.
Anyways.
It's just, like, absurd. And but these guys were not having it. They were really fucking pissed.
He convinced them.
Yeah. And he was like, basically like, come outside, take your beatings, and you can go back to the States. And we're like,
oh my God.
No, we're not going to do that. You know, like, so I guess the locals, they're freaking out. Three dudes that are with us, they're like trying to find out, like find like escapes in the bathroom and like figure out a way to sneak out of this bar. We took a look outside, and like there were a couple more dudes outside, and I swear to God, they had a pit bull like on a chain. And it was like, oh man, this is so gnarly. Like, I'm already thinking like what I'm going to look like without teeth.
Yeah.
And I don't know. One of the local kids like ended up calling the cops because he was so scared, and it made us look like total bitches, but the cops like escorted us out in front of like the line of these Maori guys. And they were just like shaking their heads like pussies. And yeah, it was bad. So then we got back to the air, like whatever place we were renting, and they like followed, like found out where we were staying, and like we're just encircling the fucking Airbnb
that night.
Yeah. And like I remember Walter like coming home from like a store run, and there's all these huge dudes standing outside of our place, and he's like, "What's going on, guys?" And they're like, "We're here to kill your friends," you know.
That's what they said.
Like, something along those lines.
Like, let them know. Like,
see, I think I always think Walter has, because he was so unassuming, that it was like, why would we beat up furry little bunny rabbit?
Yeah, like they knew he wasn't at the bar, so they were like, they didn't like really mess with him, but they wanted us.
So what happened?
The way Doyle tells the story is that it was pure fear. It was, they were absolutely,
we were shook,
shitting themselves
what
that
happened,
they were
though?
Just gonna die.
Like after
they just eventually left,
they got bored,
and then you guys like woke up in the morning like, are we gonna be able to get out of here? You know, it was our last night, and then the next morning we bounced. So it was terrifying.
Green laser. I think it's Tony's fault.
It was 100% Tony's fault. And actually, Doyle like in the heat
he's pissed.
Doyle in the heat of the moment was like,
"That's what it
fucking laser, Tony."
Yeah,
and Tony's like all drunk, and he's like, "Shut the fuck up, Doyle."
So that was the story. Is that Doyle? Doyle blame it was willing to like sacrifice Tony, and maybe I wasn't there. Willing to sacrifice
that.
Tony basically was like, it's your fault, and Doyle was like, fuck it, I am leaving.
Yeah,
and he walked straight past him, and he was like, I have nothing to do with this, I am leaving, and they let him go.
I don't think he said anything. I think he just walked out, and just like they didn't realize that it was one of the guys that they were looking for.
Yeah,
because it was a different crew outside. Yeah. But at some point Doyle was like, fuck it. See what happens. And he just like walked.
What
right
a,
that's a smart move.
What a boss move, though.
I would have been like, I ain't fucking.
Because if we left as a group, like, we were in trouble. But like, he was like, no, nah, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, and just
they saw like he's 6'3". He's confident. He didn't do shit.
Yeah.
They, like, let him go.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
But yeah, we got out of it unscathed. And actually, like, when the cops came, one of the cops pulled me aside and was like, what happened here? And I was like, dude, we're on a trip, and this guy was like freaking out on us because of the laser pointer. I was like, we didn't hit the girl. Like, we're not those type of guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
These guys are all like kind of dorky. Like, we're just here to ride. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We're not here to like start trouble, you know? And they were like, well, they're not here to start trouble. Like, these guys are like the protectors of this town. You know? Like,
so the cops were even on those guys.
They were like, you fucked with the wrong people. And like, whether or not you hit the girl, like, you piss them off, and you can't piss them off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So if you have a life lesson, don't fuck with locals.
Yeah,
like it, because you have no idea.
No
like
idea.
Especially if a guy comes up that confident, he's confident for a reason. Like
100%.
Like just I've learned.
Like
I've,
if I don't get you right now, I'm gonna come back and get you later.
Yeah.
Like,
so hit him with the sorry. Hit him with the kindness.
Yeah.
Hit him with the like, hey man, we're going to this bar. If you're coming, let me buy you a drink. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. I respect you.
It could have been handled much better.
Yeah. So, but you know, so world view.
Yeah, that's
you
why
know?
A lot of people think like, oh, the rest of the world hates Americans. It's like, no, they just hate like the non-travelers who think like everything outside of America is Disneyland. And let's shine our laser point in people's eyes.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's true. There is a lot of disrespect.
I mean, like,
there's a lot of pompous American
it was not a good look
mentality.
For,
yeah, because they travel all over the world and act like idiots a lot of the times.
I mean, I did for sure. You know, like we've definitely been idiots.
We all have.
Like,
but
that's a check.
I mean, the
you know, so.
When you're really traveling, though, you realize like, hey, like these are other people's homes.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
You can't just fucking
exactly.
piss people off all over. They live here. Like,
yeah.
They're not just like.
That's
fucking,
what I was kind of telling the cops. I was like, dude, we like this is what we do. We travel like all over the place. And like the last thing we would do is us like hit a woman in a different, you know, we wouldn't hit a woman
that's
anywhere.
Crazy.
But
that's
like,
an insane like exaggeration.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
like,
I mean, that's
oh,
a way
man.
To get people rallied.
Like, no
up,
wonder why
sure.
these guys
yeah.
want to kill
they
us.
They were
going
to kill you. They were going to beat that. That would be scary, dude. They
yeah,
beat the
it was
hell
terrifying.
Range of motion.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. So, where does that fit in between on the kink projects?
No.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's
I think it's before Squash It, because we were still filming VX. But yeah, that was awesome. I couldn't believe you guys asked me to do that. I was like, oh shit.
We have a Vans video coming out on the 9th of next month or something like that. Like, it's done. And it was like, all when they asked me what I wanted to do, it was like based off of range of motion. I was it wasn't exactly like the same, but I was like, yeah, I want to go on this many trips and have guests come on this many trips and ride every type of thing, just like we did on range of motion.
It was a really good idea format wise. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, so it never really happened again. I was like, dude, that was like the sickest video ever.
This is how dumb I am. Was it our idea? Was it yours? I know you came up with a name.
I came up with a name, but you guys came up with the concept.
Okay, we came up with the concept. And so the concept.
When you guys asked me to be, I was so young and I couldn't even believe. That was like, for me, like a holy shit. They just asked me to be in a fucking
that's
ride.
That's how I felt
video,
for Insight.
Dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Concept was street, like four core dudes have a video part, right? That was you. Like, well-rounded riders. That's what we were looking for. Trail, park, street.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, it was Tamlin,
Dillard, and Sergio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good
I mean, it was a trail trip where we brought like Hucker.
Yeah.
I can't even remember now.
Hucker,
Nastasio, Parslow. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. We're probably missing someone.
Who else are we missing?
I don't know. And then the park trip was like.
Aloise was kind of around for a little bit.
Aloise was in there,
but
he wasn't part of
it. And then the street trip was fucked, dude. That was like
trip.
Rob, Garrett.
Yeah.
I think Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean.
That's my favorite part from that video. That part is crazy.
I liked everyone because I'd never done the Northwest Trails. I'd never done the East Coast, the Northwest Parks. I'd never done the East Coast Trails. And
Dude, we hit some cool shit.
Like, California. I think I broke my wrist like the second day on the street trip, so I didn't really get to do that whole one.
Shout out to Diego Silvestre for uploading the video.
It was like the second day, and I went home because I was like, my wrist is broken.
Which one?
The one he said it was his favorite trip. I didn't really get to embrace that trip too much. I got hurt
street
the second day.
Oh.
Dennis did get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
But you got a bunch of good shit, right? But like, you managed to get a bunch of good stuff before
first
that
weekend.
Happened.
Yeah. Let's get it. Yeah,
there's my bar. I was like, jeez. Oh, like, God. For that time, it was like, nobody's doing this stuff.
All right, let's watch the trails section.
Yeah.
Shout out to Posh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like fresh out of high school for me, and you guys invited me to do this video, and I was like, okay.
Oh, this is Sergio. This is Sergio's part, right?
Is it?
Yep, this is Sergio's part. That was the thing too. That's why
it's been so. No,
the Vans
this
video
is
gonna be me and Paris's part, and then like the mix section. So it's like basically like a mini range of motion.
Right.
We, like, did this concept, but
that's sick, dude.
But kind of like it was just two people, so we're just gonna like do two sections and then a mix section. The fucking trail. To me, I love the trail section in this video. Oh my god,
dude!
Remember trying to film Hucker riding trails?
Yeah. Actually, all of those guys, like, I remember Parslow had never really like filmed
ever
like
Baker.
A video
it was
part.
Baker.
Oh yeah, it was
Baker. Yeah,
yeah.
It was what? Baker was the fourth person on the trails.
There he
I
is.
Said Baker.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, Parslow.
Parslow didn't know how to film.
Yeah.
Like, he never really
still doesn't know how to film.
He like had never really shot before. Like, he was such a contest guy that I would be like, you're gonna have to like really yell down to me when you're ready and when you're coming.
Yeah, because trails are crazy. Then, we're all in the rolling. We don't even know what
we'll
line
watch it.
You're
we'll watch
filming.
It while we're talking.
Totally. It was nuts. Like,
so he'd be like doing a backflip turndown over some jump that was like 20 feet from me when I'm holding a fisheye, and I'm like, that's not the right jump.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like we're like
yeah,
two
me,
or three
like
days.
Me and Baker would kind of know like, all right, Daryl's on that jump.
Yeah,
let's get down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it was then Hucker and dude. I would.
I could tell
Hucker
like who was used to filming. You know.
Yeah. Well, Hucker was like impulse control. He's like, I want to do this right now. Like, you know, and like, and Luke and those dudes, Luke and Corey were just kind of like, I mean, maybe Corey's a little impulse control. And I think Luke was just like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, no, because he literally, I think he said at some point he was like,
dude,
he's like,
been in a car
he's like,
long.
Yeah, this is like, I've never been on a road trip.
Yeah.
Like, and we're like, what do you mean
like,
you've never been on
this
a
this is
road?
Like a 2 hour drive.
Yeah.
It's like, this is like the longest I've ever been on a
that's
car.
Why this video is so sick, because it's like everyone. Like,
yeah.
And that's
it was what, really cool.
Should we talk about that time that Tony drank one beer?
No, we shouldn't.
We should.
No, we should.
Come
not.
On. It's hilarious. Corey won't give a fuck. You ever heard that story? I'm going to tell the story then.
I was way underage getting fucked up.
No, it's not. That. It's a polar opposite of that.
I'll just correct you if you get something.
Yeah.
Wrong.
So, oh my God. I forgot about that one.
The Alloy session was nice.
Yeah.
Everyone went crazy here.
So it was around the time that Corey had that Def Grip interview, right?
Nasty?
Yeah. Yeah, the Def Grip piece, and he said, and it was a different time period, and I'm forgiving Corey, but he said some, you know, use the F word, not F-U-C-K, but F-A-G, And okay. he said it and he had some negative time. This is, you know, 13 years ago, and it was controversial at the time.
Oh yeah, it was.
And so Tony, being the antagonist he is, must have left the green laser at home for this one. But he was him and Daryl not liking it.
Well, I know why this happened. It's because that movie Bruno had just come out.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember Bruno.
Super controversial.
Well, his dick is out in a bunch in the movie.
Yeah,
and they were like in this back seat, like talking about the movie, and they were like, "Fucking dicks are out! I can't stand this shit!" Like,
oh.
And they were like kind of freaking out.
And then Tony hits just casual conversation, dead silence in the van. He goes, "Daryl, remember that time I had one beer and I sucked that dude's dick?" And Daryl was like, "Yeah, man, that was crazy. Why'd you do that?" And he's like, "I don't know." And Corey's right in front of it. It was like for Corey, you know? And it was like dead silence.
They were like being like homophobic in the van. So we were like, let's just like get on the, you know.
Let's just hit him with the opposite.
Yeah.
So good. Like
Tony and I had been spending so much time with each other at that point, like with King stuff and this, like. God, I knew exactly where he was going.
Oh,
with
yeah.
It. So
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was weird. Like, you sucked a dick.
One beer.
And then what happened?
You weren't even drunk.
You weren't even drunk.
Did Corey care?
No,
they
dead
were
silence.
Like dead silent.
Dead silent.
They're probably like, "Oh, shit, my bad. I didn't know that."
Which made it, better, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I might have to edit around this.
No, I think it's a time period thing. It's funny. Corey doesn't feel the same way in any sense.
Corey is one of the most open human beings you've ever met in your life.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of fucking doesn't care who anybody is, what they are. I'll say that.
I just think, loves everyone. I think of that line, like, one every couple months, so.
Yeah.
But, good old range of motion.
Switch 7.
Bow.
Yeah, should we talk about the street trip where I invited Kyle Hart and I regretted it?
Oh, man.
Because I was actually there for those 2 days.
I was like, Kyle's a badass, dude. Basically.
Oh, I forgot.
We stayed at my house, dude, when I first got that first house. Yep. Holy shit.
For sure.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. That was
really cool.
Everyone
we were
sleeping
at Fudgers.
On the floors. Remember we were blowing up those balloons and filling them with. I made those fire balloons. I brought a house full of like a house party back to my house. Everyone was sleeping. Oh, that was fun, dude. That was young.
Good times.
This is the beginning of it all for me.
I remember Garrett like partying hard every night and like staying up with him. And he would just go fuck shit up the next day, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that clip. That clip is amazing. I think this is the beginning.
Flip?
No, this is Dilward's first
clip.
Oh,
the fish.
Don't.
Shout out to Dilward.
Yeah,
he's the man,
dude. He doesn't age. I saw him several years ago at this point, but he looks
and even
exactly
back
the
then
same.
Like I was he's probably like shit. Me and Garrett were the youngest people on these trips, and Dilward was like felt like my age because he's just such a like homie.
So cool.
Yeah,
he was always just you want a 40, sure, let's go.
Let's find the street section, because there's so many like moments in there where
I think you passed it because we did. That was cool too. You did like the credits was actually read.
Not all the interview stuff, huh?
Oh yeah, four trips, man. Made a fucking banging video.
It happened. Yeah.
So I invited Kyle. This is X-rated. I don't know. Whatever. Drug rated. Kyle did what, ecstasy or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did ecstasy. Stayed up all night,
but there was a purpose. It was to get back at you.
Was it?
Oh yeah.
Well, hold on, I'm pausing. What is this? Motherfucker.
And I knew Kyle super well at the time.
What is this?
Like,
I don't know
this
one.
Crazy. And
so,
I was like, well, no shit. It's fucking Kyle Hart. He's a badass.
Basically.
Now he's like the dad of the year and best dude ever.
Yeah, this is a different time.
Was he even back then? He's the best dude ever.
I don't think he wasn't invited on the.
No, I invited him. I was like, I vouched for him. I was like, Keith. Let's
but we already
Kyle
had our
here.
Four guys.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. He was extra. It was like, it was on me. It was on me.
Because he only
me.
Filmed one clip, and it was in Dennis's park.
Yeah, because he was high as shit.
Well, a couple of the days. So
I think we both went home the same day. He was like, I'm out. I'm out.
Basically,
I broke
we
my
were,
wrist, and he's like, I'm so fucking hungover.
We would mob every day with, you know, however many guys we had, 12 dudes or whatever. And every day he was showing up to your house like early. And he was just like transporting all the bikes in his pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And after like a couple of days, he felt like he was just being like bike patrol guy. Like he was just, his job was to bring all the bikes. And he was like, I remember starting to have a few drinks with him one night. And he was like,
I'm not doing it tomorrow. Like, I'm going to get fucked up. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, they're like, they're just like taking advantage of me. Like, they're just using me to like bring these bikes around. So like, I got a plan, you know, like, I don't know what the exact wording
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Then the next morning, like he like did ecstasy at like 9 a.m.
Yeah. Like was I was like, going to say,
can't
six.
Drive Fudger.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
can't do it.
Yeah.
And
we were at the White Banks.
We had to like, yeah. we had to like replan the day around figuring out how to get the bikes to and from
I didn't,
spots.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Was, I didn't think it was a burden. I thought he was just supposed to, I thought he was like on the trip. He had a truck. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I never thought about that. But I
was
I
like,
just, yeah.
damn, Kyle's a badass.
Yeah.
Like,
it was fucking yeah, hilarious.
He was rolling all day.
I was definitely.
White Banks were like 102 degrees. That's when Garrett was getting those clips, the yeah. leather jacket,
oh
and
my
Sergio.
God. Yeah, it was like 110 that day.
We were, Kyle was just like, yeah.
We were at lunch. We were at lunch. It was Mexican food. And he was on the other side of the table with me. And he was just staring at my food. And he went like, and he finally, after like literally like a minute of staring at my food, he was like, in my beans. He just put his finger in my beans. Couldn't control it.
He was still getting at you. He was still like, yeah. like, I'm just going to keep
I was literally budget. Like, I was just dumbfounded. I was like, oh my God. So and he fun. Tried to ride. He tried to ride at the White Banks and it was like, not going to happen. Like, shout out to him. That was fucking
so
hilarious.
Funny.
Kyle's
so,
a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it adds, but like literally, if he was like, oh yeah, he killed it, whatever, he did a bunch of tricks,
so
like, doesn't
motion,
make his sense. Doesn't
range
make
of motion is online now. Tony broke his hand right there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
he broke the same bone yeah. in their hand, actually.
It was 109, if I remember correctly, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snarly.
Tony also threw his phone in the fire and then burnt the hell out of his
no,
hand.
No, it wasn't the phone. Yeah, it wasn't the phone.
Stones.
Somebody kicked the stones around. Everybody was grabbing from the side and somebody kicked stones around and he grabbed and all the stones that were burning hot from the middle went to the outside.
Yeah.
He did that. And then the other Tony
God.
Threw his phone in for like $5. Like, he's like, whatever, $5. He let his phone.
I like how
burn.
This is like a multi, you know, like the biggest corporation media outlet.
Yeah,
and we
know,
were just
right?
loose as hell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was still,
listen to this
like,
story
yeah,
right here
yeah.
just from the street trip.
Yeah.
And then dude, the other fucking trips had crazy stories too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Drew went on the transition trip and he came on with broken ribs or something like that.
His ribs yep. were out of place.
Yeah, yeah, his ribs were out of place and he got them fixed halfway through.
Yep.
But he killed it the whole time, but it was like baby Drew. And I was like, I went in his room and he was like reading the Bible one time. And I was like, whoa,
oh,
all
wow.
right, what's up? You know, yeah. like I was like, I've never seen that before, you know, like like somebody's actually crazy. Reading the hotel Bible. This is crazy.
Such that a park trip, we got wasted. You took me to the airport. I slept there and I had to go to Garrett's high school
graduation
for some MTV show.
Oh my gosh.
And then I flew back. That's
I remember
how insane that.
That
time was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah,
you
sure.
were young.
Yes, yes, yes.
I
yes,
forgot
yes.
how young
God,
you were.
God, the way
oh,
Garrett,
yeah.
the way that Garrett pops those two rail hops is just fucking insane. Look at that.
Yeah, he's hauling ass.
Bap. Bap.
You don't see that spot that often.
Yeah.
It's way up north LA.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's dirty, deep. Dirty, like Valley, LA.
A lot of this stuff.
No, it's not Valley. It's like
I thought it was Valley.
I don't think so.
Nah, whatever.
It's just super north, like almost Ventura.
No idea where that's
from.
Never heard of it. And it's just
That's where BMX damn. Day is.
That'd be cool.
No. We should do another jam there before
yeah.
it dies.
They're
gonna tear that shit out.
The ditch. Then the water floods.
Yeah, so here's all oh, right. So here's not the most I've ever been impressed with Garrett, but he literally was wearing a fucking vest.
Yeah.
Everybody stayed up until like 5 a.m. drinking.
Yeah.
109 degrees, and he literally was like just in the shade with everybody else and then just fired
yeah,
out like all three or four
so
of these
impressive.
Clips.
I remember he was trying bar wall bar.
Yeah.
And he was like flinching it. I was like, you think you could spin out of it? And he just did it.
Yeah.
And then did the 5-bar afterwards just
yeah.
for shits.
For shits. Yeah. You were just still filming.
Yeah.
Yeah. No idea. Yeah. So fucked.
Yeah. It was a monstrous performance.
Is that spot still there?
Nope.
No.
I think it's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's hanging on.
Yeah. That's one I was thinking for BMX day, actually. But
that's
not
so deep.
Yeah. It's super deep.
Remember Rob trying the pegs to ice?
Oh.
The what?
The pegs to ice on the rail to rail, the like higher
oh, yeah.
set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually eventually got it for that demo video, I think.
Did he?
This was pretty groundbreaking because, you know, obviously at the time, everyone already knew Garrett was like the god. And then Rob got the last part, though.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
there's someone
yeah.
that's like.
It was undeniable.
Take out Rob,
yeah.
Or take out Garrett.
Robbed.
I remember we were kind of. I had the.
Look at him, though. Like, it's like. There's Garrett, but then there was Rob, and they're like, they're two different beasts.
Yeah. All these clips are insane. I remember I had the second to last clip as the ender, and Fudger was like,
"Yeah, we got to see what that
I think
is.
We should use the over ice to look back."
Oh, and maybe,
You were 100% right.
It was just so unexpected. Oh, like, you just have
no
idea.
Dude, this kind of shit in real life was like, you're
insane.
Not going to do that. You're not going to do that.
That was one of the gnarliest sessions I've ever been at.
I was there for a lot of the California trip, though. I wasn't there for any of this, but I do remember some of
this. This was like bananas at the time. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. The over ice look back was the ender.
What the fuck? That was like a downside ice. Oh, dude.
So insane. I should have been closer.
Rob. Oh, and Sergio hits me with the, did you get it?
Yeah.
Rob.
I just... fucking Tony.
One beer.
Dude. Damn, dude. What a fun time.
Yeah.
All right, we watched the part.
Signature Dennis Aza.
He doesn't want to watch it.
Fair enough.
Dude. Yeah.
Move on to the next thing.
But yeah.
It's funny though, because this is when I lived in La Mesa, and now I live back here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, full circle.
That's amazing. I love this on some random place. Kid's fucking YouTube channel too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Shout out to Diego Silvestre.
I know, because I didn't know this on the internet. This is a video also that gets slept on, because some people like has like a cult following.
It does, yeah. It does, like the fans of it really like it.
Yeah,
like,
and some people are like Range of Motion, because it was that DVD era before internet popped.
Yeah.
So it was like people either really fucked with it or they were like they never saw it.
It also
Diego put it on his internet.
It was a weird. There's a reason why we never put it online is because music licensing. So they would buy music licensing without foresight that like, oh shit, we need to put that on the internet.
And so it was right on the cusp of DVD internet.
Yeah.
I don't think internet was even a thing yet, because I remember talking to Lori Vincent, who's like a legend in the field for clearing music.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it'll be cleared for everything. And we were like, oh, cool. Like,
yeah, it's so weird. It's not that old, though. Like,
yeah, it was for use on DVD.
Yeah, because
Vital
was big and Ride was big at the time. And
it's definitely weird. And there was just a shitty era of that, because that's why the reason why Ride never put any video. I think there's maybe a couple of sections that I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to put it on the internet. But
I think our concern at the time was getting it cleared for like if Fuel TV wants to run it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was like, that era. She was making sure everything was good. But I don't think internet was like,
I think it was just
really
too much money. I don't know. Yeah.
Like
I don't know.
Full videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's that's the reason why no Ride videos are like officially on.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
So yeah. Because I mean, yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah.
So
I swear like Market Zero is like the very end of like the DVD sales, you know, like people can still sell DVDs, obviously, but people don't even have DVD players anymore.
Well, because even
like that was like the cusp, like Aftermarket Zero, it was like, all right, like, fucking get
right
that shit
then.
On the web.
Because
I sell DVDs if you want for the dollar, that's cool, like vinyl,
totally.
I remember the dollars for Range of Motion, like, were it had to basically be paid for via sponsor dollars. For it to happen.
Yeah.
Because
it was a weird time where
video
sales were going down.
It was a tight time.
Internet was going up. That's what I'm saying. It was a very blurry
Who paid for it? Osiris?
No.
A bunch of people, I think.
There was a bunch of sponsors.
There was a bunch of sponsors.
I remember there's like a bunch of
I'm trying to think of who the
Osiris might have been in the mix.
Maybe, yeah. I think maybe they must have paid the most.
Haro was definitely on board.
A bunch of sponsors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got my part. Yeah.
No. I mean, it was, I mean, the reality is that like, the amount
stay
of people
at my house, Haro's gonna sponsor it,
right?
Like, yeah,
there you go. The amount of people that could have done that part, like the Range of Motion, like the Park Street dirt aspect, was pretty limited, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't like people would feel comfortable, because even like Tony for the dirt aspect,
he struggled, he
was like, dude, I'm
tripping.
Fucking
like,
losing
we got
the
posh,
it.
He was like, dude, this is so gnarly,
yeah,
like I'm not riding these 250s,
yeah,
like, this is insane.
There's a few amount of people that could like really put that together. Think about it, I mean, it's even worse, quote unquote, now,
seriously,
that
we could probably get the same four guys,
right?
yeah
yeah yeah
Dave would be like, fuck yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
it, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah, he had some fuck clips too. There were so many good things. Like, there was like
one
the
of
fucking
sleepers. Yeah, like,
for sure.
Dude,
the ice 270
chill,
on that huge street wall was
thinking the same thing. We were there.
It's almost like
at
a
night.
Rob Wise. Like, yeah. Kind of only bangers. Different.
Lit, for sure.
Like, we lit up that car wash, and I remember there was like a homeless dude just like plugged his little TV.
Yeah.
And he was just watching it the entire time. Didn't
Man,
give
that
a
spot
fuck
was crazy.
It. Yeah. So,
real quick.
Yeah, you're good.
You guys want to pause? Keep going. So we're starting now. We're back.
No unnecessary bar spins.
What?
No unnecessary bar spins.
Was that my mantra for?
That
a
was
bit?
Your mantra for a bit.
Yeah.
Why? Because.
It just got so OD. Like, yeah. I think Insight. I think was. Somebody counted them, and it was like absurd.
It was a brutal age of the internet at then back then.
Yeah, yeah. It was anonymous commenting and shit. Like, I was like, all right, this is fucking superfluous. I gotta chill out here.
I don't think the internet cares about bar spins that much anymore.
No,
I
mean, now
all the bars.
Back
now.
Then, it seemed ridiculous, but yeah, I don't think, you know, now it's like pretty common.
Dude, 2023 is like, you can one up. You can ABD. Like,
you should do three bar spins out of anything.
Yeah,
if you can.
Yeah, if you can.
World, which
is
cool. It's kind of like fuck it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like almost like just clean slate. Let's
it is. Weird. It is weird. Yeah, ABDs don't really exist anymore,
dude. I was just having this conversation.
It's like you
want
to be careful of it, but then you're just watching an edit and you're like, there was like four ABDs.
I feel like some of the rules are like they're not really applying this year. I don't know. It's been it's
rodeo
been
peanut come back.
Right.
Dude. Like, we need that. That's just great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We don't need anything, but that's fun to have someone.
Have you guys seen same spot, same angle?
No.
On Instagram?
Yes, I have.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
It's for skate.
Is it BMX or skate?
It's skate, okay. But it's like unreal that that is like they literally have same spot, same angle. Literally same spot, same angle. We'll pull it up just for reference. But it's
actually like mind blowing. That's like, damn, like ABD with the same angle. Wow.
Yeah. ABD is same trick, same spot, same angle. That's literally all they post. So this is, how are you going to film the seawalls any real different?
Right.
But like it is that one. Like, so there's that. And then.
Wow.
So yeah, we're just, you know, we're always
so this is like,
years behind skateboarding, you
right?
know, so
yeah,
it's
right.
like, it's
yeah.
interesting because now they're like, they're at this level now where it's like same spot, same angle, same trick. Holy shit.
Yeah. So they're on 68. Well, I guess this is 68 posts in a row where it's same spot, same trick, same angle.
I mean, to be a skateboarder, you would just know this stuff, but are they naming the guys?
Yeah, they're tagging him and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just got to that point though. I don't know.
But like,
who
look
was
how weird that
it.
Trick is. Like, he literally, like, why?
Yeah, right.
But that's a nice trick for that spot.
I mean, that makes sense, obviously. But it is pretty crazy, you know. Like the.
But I was just talking to I think Joey Cobbs the other day, and it's like, you know what? Like, you can look out for it, but at this point, it's like
it's impossible.
It's a
song
it's
jacking.
You're constantly on trips. You're constantly filming. Everyone's constantly making parts. Like, it's
right.
just video is just an Instagram and this and that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can't get hated on too hard for one up.
I feel
someone,
honestly,
or ABD and someone. It's like, come on, there's so many.
And like,
is
everyone
fucking
supposed to be like a wealth of like encyclopedic knowledge about?
If you know that, great. But
But like, that's not everyone's job. You
yeah,
know?
Think and of
any time
kid.
I see myself getting ABD'd or one up or whatever, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
Still relevant.
You know? Exactly. Right? Just like that's what I think. That's a 2023 generation. Like, you know, me and the younger crowd. It's like we don't care.
Right.
The older generation that I grew up on is like. Boom! Fuck you. Now it's like, get it.
This is
feel like they have that like same. It's just like the whole world we live in, where it's like just do what you want to do nowadays.
I was gonna say this is like my I think my peak riding is that I filmed a clip for like a local video, and Aiken filmed the same clip. Like it was like a gap over like a couple of rails, like
that's
bank
a sick
to bank.
Brag. I'll take
and
that.
I was like, holy shit! Like I filmed something
that's
before Aiken did it. Like. Made it look smooth and more stylish and just did it higher and better.
Right.
But like I did it before. I should have told him that on the podcast. He would have been like,
Mikey?
Whatever.
Yeah, right. You'd be like, yeah, I wasn't
it's basically a bunch of bullshit.
Camera, I mean.
Yeah. So yeah, wasn't even trying. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for real though, the people that have started riding in the last 5 years, they don't even remember.
Think about it being a kid growing up in San Diego and worrying about that.
That's what, the
hollowed ground of fucking Garrett, Chad, and Dennis. Yeah, and entire market crew.
Even this
and
stuff,
everybody
all
else.
Deadline crew.
It all looks like LA, San Diego. Yeah, you know, like of course it's gonna
happen
here.
That's what it is. SoCal,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then the skate industry is 10 times bigger.
Right,
so it's like
right.
They got fucking same angle.
Yeah, pretty funny that exists. So.
That is really cool, actually. Shout out to that guy for digging.
I was going to say...
Impressive on the guy who makes his account.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was going to say no unnecessary bar spins after the finger dislocation, though. I think that was the main... Yeah. I let you go through it, but like it was after you started...
No, you're 100%
busting
right.
all your fingers out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Like at the park or something.
Yeah, I dislocated my pinky once on a bad catch, and then it just started happening, like every few months. And the ligament got so stretched out, and the knuckle so rounded off that like I was waking up out of bed with my finger out and being like,
Did it hurt as much still?
The pain wasn't really the issue, but it's such an uncomfortable feeling.
It's like
feeling.
A survival thing when something comes out of socket.
Yeah, it feels so unnatural, and you can't move it. Yeah. And then, you know, you can't really ride for a few days no matter what. So it just sucked. And I kind of like got into the mindset where like I can only throw the bars like when I really want to now.
Yeah.
Because this can happen anytime. And it just turned into an issue for me. And it's still an issue. Like I still think about like certain tricks it would really struggle with, like the way I would catch a feeble hard bar for some reason would just
smash your pinky
every time it would come out.
Mm.
And I'd be like, great. Like,
no, I can't.
Shouldn't have tried this fucking trick again.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like, and every time I do a certain trick and it comes out, I'm like, I don't want to do that trick anymore. So it's like the manual 180 bars out, feeble hard bars out, you know, like it was like, mentally, I was just like, I'm not doing that trick anymore.
Yeah.
This shit sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that I forgot about that. That became like a serious issue. And it's still like, still pisses me off.
Every time I see a bar on your Instagram, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Because I just think of that. Because you were like, literally, you're like, yeah. Like, because you were just so casual about bars. And then you're like.
Yeah, like inside, it's just like.
Yeah. And just even casual bike riding.
Any little time you have, you're going to throw it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had the time to throw another one, it was getting thrown. So. Yeah, after a while, it just like stopped cooperating. Yeah. And I was like, I went to a doctor even and talked to him about what they could do. And he was like, it's kind of a Band-Aid. You know, like it's not really a permanent fix. It's never really going to be as strong as it ever, you know, was. So it was just like, fuck it. Not doing those tricks anymore.
See you later.
Cut it off.
Yeah.
Maybe cut the pinky off. That's a solution.
Dude, seriously.
Yeah. Like the Yakuza shit. And be like, yeah, you disgrace me.
Yeah.
Pop
it
off.
Disgrace me. Piss me off.
So. I've had the shoulder one and it's like, I've had to ditch a few tricks.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The double flip.
Double flip's gone.
No pole anymore.
I can relate.
Yeah. Shoulder one though, dude. Pinky, like I never had the pinky, but I could just like that little the dislocation shit. It's like you said, he was asking about the pain. It's not the pain. It's like a like, oh god,
yeah.
Oh god.
It's like
put
fuck.
It back in, and
yeah.
then
I gotta get this thing back
like,
in.
Damn, dude, it's all stretched out
and like,
weird.
I could never remember which way I had to rotate it to put it back in. So I'd be like running around like fucking
and
yelling.
A pinky seems like it would just pop out all the time.
Yeah, dude, it's. I mean, you can see it. It's like
yeah,
it's
a little,
jagged.
It's a little, it's like not, going two different directions. Actually. Yeah,
if you were like. Young, 18, wanted to keep going with the career, I'd say cut it off.
Yeah, right. I know. If that would have happened a long time ago, I might not be sitting here.
I guess let's talk about go full circle, talk about the end of working for Gink. So what was the last full length project? What was the last like kind of
good
web
place
project?
To put us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask what you're doing now. So we got to start with this. So.
Yeah.
Fair. The last full length was Champagne. And then.
Congrats on the Nora Cup.
Thank you. Still feels pretty good.
Nathan's part almost made me cry.
Oh, my
God.
The
first time I watched it, someone sent us a link and I was in like Peru with the Lacey and Perrin and we watched it. And I was like, dude, the feeling you did with Nathan's part at the end of that
Thanks,
video.
Man.
Yeah. You fucking did it.
Yeah. He.
That
part
is something else. I'll forever watch that part.
Yeah, it's a pretty special part, and it felt really good to like be
be able to document that, especially at that time in his life and getting on a new team. And like, he jumped on board and we were already filming a full length. So he just like jumped into the fire, which he kind of likes, you know, like yeah. When he got on Kink, it was like, oh, you guys are working on something. Like, I think that almost pushed him over the edge. Like, yeah, I'm down. So yeah, to see him come on late and put that part together, I mean, he was so motivating for the team and like for us. It was just like,
sure, he brought everybody's level.
Oh my god,
yeah,
the energy he can bring to a session, it's just like
that
everybody's
whole video
got
is so like, you're like, dude, there's this rail god, there's another rail god, there's another yeah, rail god. Yeah. Like, when I watched that video for the first time, I was like, that's one of my favorite videos ever.
Thanks, man. I really
appreciate
it.
It is a great video.
Like in the last 5 years, that's
the,
my repeat.
The photo montage in the beginning, like the way it all, you know, like it's.
Yeah, I just watched the whole thing like not 10 days ago or something.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I watched that video all the fucking time.
Yeah, it came together really naturally, and we're all, you know, we were all thrilled with it. Like it felt right, and it was, you know, kind of a new era for the Kink team and kind of re-establishing like what we do and all that stuff. So it felt really good to get the cup and all that stuff. Like it's really special for me. But yeah, that was the last full length project we did. And then we did a bunch of like kind of just like trip videos after that, which I'm still stoked on. But yeah, at the end of basically like, I don't know, October or September of 21, I was doing so much freelance for Chad Osborne at that time. And because he's kind of like made a little name for himself in the Dallas area doing mm-hmm. video work.
So and for the people that don't know, obviously Chad rode for Kink.
Yeah.
Savage bike. One of the gnarliest dudes on a bike.
For sure.
Honestly, that I think people don't know.
Yeah.
Like literally brakeless double flips when double flips
he
were
is the local
fucking
hero.
Scariest. Yeah,
he's like
things.
The local hero yeah. that Kink saw and grabbed. And yeah. did some stuff with him for a few years, but man,
yeah.
if you went to the fucking Fresno Park and rode with Chad
yeah.
on
yeah.
a good night,
yeah.
like whoo,
it was
no one
absolutely
like him.
Incredible.
It was over the top,
yeah. absolutely so, incredible.
That's
crazy.
Who
yeah.
you're hanging with now.
Yeah.
yeah, that's like my boss, basically.
But we got to start. The
show. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. So yeah,
so September 21, you said?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. He kind of approached me and was like, "Dude, like, I want to do this. Like, I want to do this full time and like start a business and like." Can't do this with anyone else. Like, are you down for this? And I was like, shit, man, I don't know. You know, like, this means leaving Kink for mm-hmm. sure. Because I knew just the amount of clientele he had and how many projects we'd be doing. I just wouldn't have time. And I was already trying to, like, balance the freelance life with my responsibilities at Kink. And they were really cool about, you know, they knew it was good money and opportunities to, like, kind of step outside the box a little bit. But yeah, eventually I was just like, I think this is a good time for me to do this. And I don't think I can really pass up this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had a call with Jay and we talked it out. And yeah, we just kind of ended the relationship. Well, not the relationship, but ended the official like work relationship
yeah.
in January of 22.
And I guess was their
recently.
Reaction? Yeah, it is recent.
Seems like
it,
yeah,
I mean, what was their long reaction? Long. Were they like, "Hey, we would like you to stay," or was it? What did they counter? Is it?
Jay was pretty taken back.
Yeah,
he was like, "Okay," and like we kind of have a short conversation, and then he called me back the next day and was like. That like did that happen? Like did that conversation
yeah.
really happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know. So it's kind of, I mean, it feels like breaking up with a chick, you know. Like Jay's my brother. We've been doing this for so long together. I've been at
travel
his side.
The world,
yeah,
the
like,
stories you know, and memories.
You know, I was in the front seat of that van for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like
Holy shit.
Sailed that ship together. So
that's fucking gnarly. Yeah,
yeah,
when you put it like that, like that is gnarly. Yeah.
So it was a crazy feeling, and you know, our relationship is great. We talk all the time, and I still help Kink with their complete videos when I can. Pardon me.
That's all right.
So yeah, like we still have a good relationship, and there was no love loss at the brand or anything. But yeah, they were like, "Can we counter?" You know, and I was like, "I don't think so."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not
just the money. You know, it was like a change in lifestyle. I'm married. I have responsibilities at home. It was just like, I think this is the best idea for me right now, like, and my future. Yeah. So
it's part of growing up too. You want to see what it looks like.
Yeah,
kind of. Well, like it seems exciting. Like,
yeah,
in a
just
sense,
like kind of take a look at a different door and see what's going on.
Yeah,
so
it's like when Kink started 15 years before.
Yeah. So it's kind of like
15 year chapters.
Yeah,
that's a good commitment.
You know, for sure.
It's acceptable to change.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of what we did with, you know,
you should be
everything during that time period, and I just felt like it's a good time.
You made me and like 2 million other kids a fan of Kink,
right?
You know,
I
wear my champagne shirt proudly. Like, swear to God, I wear that shirt all the time. I'm like, champagne.
That's
like,
dope, dude.
I feel like, I feel like it's hard for a brand because their video guy does make up so much of their outward, you know, brand appearance.
And
you know, like,
and honestly, like it was when I told them that I was leaving, getting like the, you know, how important you've been to the brand and like change the face of the brand and all this, you know, all the stuff that you don't hear while it's happening. It was like, shit, you know, like they care and they recognize what I've brought to the table. So it was, that made it hard, you know, like extra hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like at that point I couldn't really waver. And it was like, I've already kind of cracked this door open. Like I need to like take a step through and see what's going to happen.
Yeah. No.
So,
well, I mean, fuck, you gotta, I mean, I feel like it was, you did that at the same time that Will Stroud kind of announced his step away. And I was like, fuck, like literally like for BMX, I was like, just like kind of,
hey, but
these
bosses, you know, at 39 and Will's probably like,
I mean, it's part of growing.
Do the next thing, and then there's the new guys that will come and rebrand the shit just like he did. When
Yeah. It doesn't mean that somebody else can't do the job, but you also still have to like kind of mourn it in a sense, you know, like because he did make champagne, he did make safety first, he did make it, you know, and he did make seven other videos.
He said it was 15 years.
Yeah,
15 years of Kink. You know,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's fucking crazy. That was my whole like. The whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my entire adulthood. Yeah.
Is there like a moment or a thing, you know, like when you're like, I guess you don't, I was going to say like you can tell your grandkids, but you don't actually want kids, but like your friend's grandkids, you're like, oh yeah, like I used to do this, you know, like one time I, you know, like is there like a moment?
No, I don't know. It's not really a moment for me. It's just my life.
Yeah.
Like it's still the biggest thing in my life. It's still like who I am.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I've kind of talked about this with Canode, but like I don't know who I am without Kink or BMX.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to find a way to like keep BMX in my life as much as possible and pick up projects and still like make it something that's part of my daily life, you know.
And this was so January 22. So we're about a year and a half later at this point. I feel like you wouldn't even say it. You're like, oh yeah, I fucked up or something like that. You wouldn't say that, but like, has there been points where you're like, damn, like, I don't know. It's not as like shiny and bright over here as I thought it would be type thing.
Not really. I mean, but when I see the boys on a trip and they're in Lyon, France for a week, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
You know, like those are my guys. Yeah. Like I need to be out there. You know, like I look at it like, they're my family and they're out like having, like, it's just FOMO.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
like,
having things.
They're out doing things
without
me. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, like, so it's not really like I messed up. It just stings when I like see everybody out killing it together when they're in the van together, when they're on a trip together. I'm just like, shit, like I should be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what are you and Chad doing?
So Chad started, like an agency basically. And it's called 360 Media, and we just provide like high quality video content for brands mostly, that need coverage for events or coverage for product releases, all kinds of stuff. Really, sometimes we shoot board meetings. Sometimes we're at motorcycle races. Sometimes we're doing like pop-up event coverage. Just like kind of, it ranges all over the place, but it's been a really good place to like kind of hone in on what I actually want to do and like, you know, get better at my craft and Mm-hmm. Just like learn.
Like a little production company.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're not like making movies or anything.
There's no roof though. You can just keep.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of room for growth and things are going well and, you know, the client list is good. So, yeah, we're just kind of running it and seeing how far we can take it, you know, and it's kind of the same thing. Like I got in on the ground floor.
Like, it's so amazing. Like you start with just, you know, the two VHSs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
like, you know, to BMX, to traveling the world, to a mini production company, to 39 years old. What's next? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So dude, it's cool.
That's
amazing.
Will Stroud's doing the similar thing.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. It's the so same cool. exact thing.
Like, 100%.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, you know, there's.
And we've actually collaborated with Will and, you know, sick. And I get to bring clients to the company. Like I want to make I got a video that I want to do with Brett Silva for his little water company that he rides for. Like, mm-hmm. go pitch it, you know, see what they say. So I can like kind of take it into my hands. Like I need BMX included in my life.
Yes.
Like then go get it.
Yes.
Like, go figure it out.
Yeah.
Go work on like the new Chase project with Rockstar. You know, go do the Brett thing, you know? So.
Yeah. So you're still in, obviously you said the complete bike, like you, so like kind of their online catalog, video catalog. If you go watch that of all their 23 or maybe 24 bikes at this point, that's Daryl, the Brett, what's it called? Cutwater?
Rambler.
Yeah. Sorry. Rambler water piece was you, Real BMX recently, right? Yeah. Like after, I guess,
the last one I did was
Julian.
Was Julian's second part.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
I guess that was maybe after because of COVID and all that shit.
But yeah, we'll see if that continues.
Yeah. And then, as you said, like the Chase piece that is going to come out, which is his backyard ramp for Rockstar.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you're still involved.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so. I still have, you know, this core group of friends in Austin that are doing cool shit, and I just gotta like kind of make sure that I insert myself almost like, let's work on something together, let's figure something out, like let's make this happen, and if they have a sponsor that can like get jump on board, then I can keep BMX filming in my life.
Yeah,
you know? And that's,
and I feel like at a point
you bring BMX into like a different.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I get to work with like different kinds of companies that like don't really have a BMX frame of mind. They're like, oh yeah, you guys want to do something for us? Like, cool. That sounds sick.
So sick. You know, it's super, super random. I feel like is kind of on point right now is like, I got a text from Miles Rogish yesterday.
He's like,
hey, I want to put some BMX poster, like photos from Ride on this kid's wall for this like production that I'm doing. Like, is that cool? Like what, you know? And I was like, you're good. Like one, you're multiple reasons you're good. But I'm like small stuff like that. Where like Miles is like still, he's out there doing videos and shit like that. But like everybody still has like the love for BMX and wants to include it in certain ways.
I said that about
ways.
BMX for like the last 10 years. I was like, all these successful motherfuckers I know from BMX, like if they like had a little bit of BMX, like, you know, to keep it going.
Yeah. Inject
like, that's why the skate industry always is like fucking thrived because they like bring skateboarding with them.
I think
a lot of BMXers
easier.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Is it easier? I don't know. I think it's like, I think a lot of BMXers are just like, I'm done. And they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, dude, what
you're
the
right.
hell?
You know, there's,
like, bring it with us. Like, I bring it to the world a little bit.
A
more.
Lot of people walk out of BMX with like a lot of animosity towards their like experience or how they were treated towards the end of their career. And like, I really never wanted to be that way. I never wanted to be like, mad about BMX. Like it's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm not gonna like walk away from it like with like a bad attitude about it. And I think if you can keep your lifestyle going and still include BMX somehow, like that's the dream, right? I'm still riding, I'm still working with guys, it's just in a different capacity,
and you're more in control than ever if it's what you're choosing to do, you know, like you're not, you're your own director.
Right.
In that sense.
And I get to like pick and choose which projects I want to work on. And if I see something I think could be really cool, I have to like pitch it and make it happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, dude.
That's really cool. Like you're at the level, like fucking sweet.
Yeah. It's cool. And like, you know, the scene in Austin is thriving and these guys are getting hooked up and they have some different eyes on BMX. So it's like, it makes sense for us to still work together on stuff, you know? So it's been sick.
Is there advice out there for, I feel like being a videographer these days is always like, I don't know. I feel like it's like difficult for a kid to like grasp it and how to make a living and how to get in the door and stuff like that. It's such a hard,
like specifically BMX wise.
I mean, BMX or otherwise, like I feel like it's a mentality. I feel it's more of a mentality advice than anything else. Like, hey, check yourself. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, dude, I've gotten so lucky throughout my life. Like, shit just falls into my lap and
feels
like,
that way.
I just like. Eventually,
it's because you're a hard worker and you take initiative on like what the task is at hand and you do it as good as you can. Everything's not falling in your lap.
I was going to say, if Jay is here, he would have a different opinion than falling.
That's why I have
a
different opinion.
You know,
I guess
like,
from my perspective, it just feels like people just hit me up with like these crazy opportunities and I've just like,
that's not what
sure.
it is.
Yeah.
That's really modest of you. In like a cool
I think it is like that though. I feel like it is like that, like in a snowball type sense where it's like, hey, somebody hits you up. And then you do this little thing as this little pebble. And then somebody else sees that thing you did.
Right.
Or maybe they don't see it for fucking 30 of them.
Right.
30 little pebbles. But then the 31st one, somebody sees it and then it turns into a slightly bigger pebble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you get a couple like that and nobody fucking sees it. And you stay on that level for a long time. And then it gets a little bit bigger.
Well, throughout this podcast, it's like, look where you came from.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then all of a sudden you're in the kink van riding as hard as you can. And all of a sudden they realize you have this talent with filming too. You know, it's like, it's just, things aren't falling into your lap. You're grasping opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Without even knowing it because you all obviously have a great work ethic.
Yeah. I think anything that's come my way, I'm like, I've seized it. Just trying to be like, let's go. I'm down.
I think even making the decision to leave kink was you seizing it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's like,
yeah, I think
you know,
so.
Yeah.
Like, so. In hindsight, it was
a hard
decision. Yeah. Yeah, super hard, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it fucked me up. You know?
Fucking A.
It still kind of fucks me up.
I'm like, I can kind of tell. I mean, I feel like you'd wrestle with, like, as you said, like your identity.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not a pro bike rider anymore. I dealt with that a couple of years ago in a sense, but I'm also kind of still in it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm not fucking this guy. And I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing anything that has a bunch of comments about how fucking great it is.
Yeah.
And shit,
well,
you
for
know?
A while, I didn't do anything BMX related, like when I first started with 360, and that was like I'm freaking out. Like I'm still riding, but like I'm not behind the camera when it comes to bikes at all.
Yeah.
And that was like shit. Like kind of freaked me out.
I guess do you get the same enjoyment in any capacity of like filming stuff? I'm sure at moments, but like at other points you're like
I mean, creatively, sometimes I'm like, oh, that was cool. Like, something that, like, that motorcycle race was really fun to do or whatever. But nothing's ever going to, like, match the satisfaction of, like,
Nathan
finishing Nathan. Or, like, doing the chase video that we just did. Like, nothing, you know, that's the coolest thing I've worked on all year.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, cool. I just got to make sure that I can, like, keep it in my life, you know?
Which is great.
Because it is so important to me. And I don't, like, I would probably lose my mind pretty quick if like, BMX just wasn't in my life. It would just be, like, so foreign.
Yeah. I think
that's how I feel. Like, whatever the next step is, like, I just want to, like, have a little, like, BMX.
Yeah.
At least, like, bring it with me a little bit.
Right.
Like, you know, like, the BMX is just something so powerful to me. Like,
the post you made yesterday, I think, like, where you said, like, my hobby is
that was
I just
really felt it,
dude. That was like perfect. I was like, yeah, like that's 100% correct.
So cool.
Yeah. And what was it for the people that didn't see it?
I was just riding my Rance by myself, and it was like 90 degrees. But I was dude, like fucking BMX is like my my favorite thing to do. It's also my passion. It's also my job, and it's my meditation, and it's an exercise.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there, like so grateful for it, and like riding as hard as I can. I was like, dude, fucking.
Like a
love this
like
weird little thing
so
that
many
I got,
boxes
like bikes,
for you.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I was truly like, oh, like,
so dope.
Really what it is. And I had so many people like, it was crazy. And, like, a weird little post. And
yeah. Right.
BMX needs people like you in it as well to dip in, dip out, do what you got to do. You love it. Like, I think it's important. And obviously whatever your next phase is, YouTube superstar.
Oh yeah.
But you know, like I
360
you know,
media with my boy.
Right. I mean fucking
what are your skills?
None. How many Noracos did you? Two?
Me?
Yeah.
No, just one.
Just one? Oh yeah, Champagne was the first one. Holy shit.
I was nominated like five times.
Yeah.
Damn. So yeah. Like, hey,
Well, at least he went out with a bang.
Real good.
Yeah, that. Sorry, Jay. If he didn't get the Nora Cup, he probably would have stayed. I'm like, no, I'm staying on for the next one.
Yeah. Like, we're starting next full length.
That would have been the next one. Still chasing.
Nobody's making a video this year. We're making a video.
I will say, giving you guys a Nora Cup was a cool. That's not how Nora Cups usually go.
Yeah.
So being able to give that to you guys was especially cool, given
was
our
that
history.
That was the house.
That was the Nora Cup one. Yeah, that was like that. Yeah, the COVID. Nora.
Yeah, and then we partied at our Airbnb that night.
Yeah. And then you met your now baby mama. All right, but that was the first time I met her.
First week I was with her.
Yeah, that was the first week. Okay. I was like, Asa was conceived the night we gave out.
No, but it was right around there. Not that night.
Shit. I think
he was already in her belly.
I might start telling people that anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Like
Calvin said that the other day.
He's literally, like
was
shot
born
up.
Born that night? I was like, nah. Or not born.
I remember Dennis showed up just with you had like wine on
I
your
shirt. I
lived
right down the street. I was like, yeah, it's been COVID. I was like, my friends are in
right
town.
You, yeah.
I was so fucking hyped.
That
dude.
Was the fun.
You guys
lived
down, you guys got the Airbnb down the street from me after the fun podcast day. Yeah. Turned pro.
We were raging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I should have stayed longer, but you scared me. You were like, Butcher. And I'm like, no.
Me?
No, him.
Oh. Well, yeah. Jacob turned pro for Odyssey and Kink that day. And then
Champagne won.
We got
cup.
Video. And then Nathan got Street Rider.
Yeah.
And video
got
part.
Airbnb down the street from my house. And we were like, no one ever is by my house back then.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, let's watch it. Let's relive it. I feel like we're heading.
Champagne is like, fuck, one of the best videos ever.
We have the full thing, but.
I love
this
it.
Is us getting it.
Yeah, this is getting it. I feel
is
like
there,
this
is.
Is
there party footage?
No.
No.
Because that was like peak COVID. We couldn't do that.
I have it in my head.
We were. I remember being in my backyard looking at everybody and being like, this is irresponsible.
Yeah.
But it just sort of happened.
Oh, we were like passing a bottle around. And yeah. I was like, I don't even care.
Hey, shit was so good. It was like, we all die. We all die.
Yeah.
Like, man, what a great. It was the end of COVID too, where we realized, like, I don't think people are dying like this.
Yeah.
You
it
know?
Was a little
we're
bit.
Like, we're kind of all figured. It wasn't the beginning where it was like, what's going on?
Yeah, right.
I think this shit
was
a little blown out.
Yeah.
We were learning.
So,
I think
try to make it as corny as possible.
I think
possible,
I'm fully
basically.
Like, no.
Look at Gary hiding, right?
Look at Gary. This
I'm
song
tripping.
Too for
look at yeah Daryl look at him
I'm not quite Play. Crying but I'm close.
You just have such a good music sense too, man, like the Child's Play song.
Oh, I jacked this song. I accidentally jacked it, actually.
It's okay, because I don't know who you jacked it from, so fuck, we're BMXers.
I heard
look
it at the
Jesse.
Oh yeah, Jesse's there. Nice.
That was a $100 bottle of wine too.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not fucking around with this.
A real
like,
one.
Yeah. I was like, I can't get him like a fucking $15.
Did we do Jacob's podcast
later
that day?
Yeah, that was later
and then
that day.
The party was that night.
Yeah.
That was a fucking sick day.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big
yeah,
because
I was already drunk by the time I got here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a different house.
It's a yeah. That's how, that's, how dr-
that's right.
That's how drunk you were, because you're like, is this the same house?
I know,
like,
right?
This
yeah.
house is nothing like that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Congrats, you guys. Champagne.
And then obviously shortly after that, I hit Nathan with the.
Oh, then we were like extra freaking out. Like, are you gonna what's next? Like,
yeah. So I had given them. I had
are we
given,
gonna win like team of the year or something?
I didn't even add that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan so I had get yeah I had given them this Nora Cup. And I had
and then
clearly
Nathan won Nora Cup for Christian's video.
That
why
was,
not? But
right.
he was also nominated for Champagne,
right.
which is like
yeah.
insane.
I know.
So it was a different one. Yeah. So.
Oh, Nathan, dude.
And so I pretended I didn't have a battery.
And then Jacob got on pro.
You guys
for both
like,
teams.
Are you not having this battery? I'm talking so much shit.
Oh
right
yeah, 100%.
I'm like, this is classic Fudger. Now we're really tripping. And this was for Street Rider, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is sick. It was
Nate had a good
cool.
day.
It was cool.
You guys all did. It was awesome.
It was cool to see Nate like legitimately happy.
Yeah.
You know, like
I know.
Like He's a pretty stoic dude
in
a sense.
He's so chill.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't like attention on that stuff, you know? So.
So.
But he deserves.
Oh my God. I should just do this for Nora Cup anymore. Fuck the party.
Hey, that was a good.
Nora Cup, like September. Sunday, November.
There was
September
only 20
10th,
people that remember that
after
Nora
the
Cup.
Finals of Battle, Battle of Hastings. I'm doing it.
Plug that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Unplug that shit. Nah, it's happening. Real Nora Cup.
We're not doing it here with 20 people. No, that was dope. That was a Nora Cup. No one will ever.
No, that was
know
special.
Besides
yeah,
us.
Yeah. No, it was cool. It was cool. It was cool
the
to
podcast
be a little
plus the kink team.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah.
And it was like honestly perfect for me. Like I don't know, like going up on stage and doing the whole like thing would be cool, but this was like I don't know. It was felt
was
personal.
Yeah, it was cool. But it was especially in the middle of COVID when everything was like fucking
yeah
like,
right.
Kind of off, so it was cool.
Yeah, got lucky on that one somehow.
Yeah, and I had to give him another one. Yeah, that was Street Rider. Sorry, I'm getting all. I haven't thought about this in a while. So that was Street Rider,
right.
and then I had to surprise him again.
Right,
a completely different time.
And you like set up a fake shoot.
Yeah,
at a spot and everything.
Fake etnie shoot with Pova. Yeah, so
pretty cool.
Yeah, I literally got kicked out, and I'm like, all right, just. But like filming and something like somebody's like yelling at me from the second floor. I'm like, just give me fucking, just give me 2 minutes. Shut the fuck up. Like, this is really important. So, but yeah, fucking 9 video parts, Nora Cup, fucking a catalog of video parts yourself.
Yeah.
Contributions to BMX, fucking times 1 million. So thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're my
I appreciate you. Thank you for coming by.
As a kid, because you're a little bit older than me, but I got to be like a fan of everything you did throughout all these years. So thank you for like the motivation throughout 15 years.
It means a lot, man.
With you and Kink together as one.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Thank you, Daryl. This is it. What do we do? 205? Not too bad. Not too bad.
Bird.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Taco.
Yeah. Pew. You guys.